Hi, I'm Serena, and this is my co-host, Mike, and you're listening to Diapers and Deployments, Who's Got It Worse? The podcast that talks about all things military, the good, the bad, and the oh shit.
On today's episode, we talk about my trip to Chicago after 14 years, Mike being a dad and stepping on his grown daughter's toes, and we have a special guest from the American Legion.
This podcast is supported by SkillMill Corporation, helping veterans transition to the civilian workspace.
All right, Serena, so, you know, last week we did not get to talk about your girls' weekend, and I, for one, want to know what happened on your girls' week. Well, what you can tell us anyway. Where you went, what happened?
So, one of my best childhood friends, we've been friends since we were in, like, first grade. She moved to Chicago when we graduated high school and went to Loyola, and she's been a career-driven businesswoman, so she's always been able to come visit me and the kids and Brandon everywhere we've been stationed because, you know, here I am trying to, half the time I was single parent holding down the fort. So she would be like, you know, I'm coming to Hawaii for 10 days.
Or, so hold on. This girl sounds rich. Is she single or?
Yeah. She is single and she's ready to mingle.
I'll need pictures for my buddies, but go ahead.
Yeah. We actually talked about that because COVID made this last year really difficult. As soon as I got back to the Midwest, she was like, your kids are older. You're living with your folks. I live literally a 50-minute plane ride away. Get your ass on a plane and come visit. And so I did.
Perfect.
Yeah. And I have not been to Chicago since 2007, March, St. Patrick's Day, to be exact. And that was the wildest weekend I've ever had as a married woman. So fast forward 15 years and here I am. I went back. And so we were laughing because we were like, are we going to relive that St. Patrick's Day weekend? Oh, and I was like, no, we're not, because I destroyed a cab. Thank God Uber wasn't a thing, because they would have taken all my money if that was a thing.
You'd have had the $250 cleaning fee, Serena.
Yes. Yes. So this time, you know, we're closer to 40. So things were a little bit more chill. However, we drank countless martinis and we spent a lot of time looking at the views, drinking. We ate a lot of good food and we just got to catch up and talk. And I probably drank more that weekend I was in Chicago than I have, like, since we've moved back to Kansas, all combined, even with our drink of the week.
Oh, God. Well, but you know what's funny is when you're with friends on the weekend, it's like you space it out. I mean, you know. It's,
yeah.
So, Serena, it sounds like you had a good time. But now you said you mentioned one friend, but there was more than one of you, right?
No, it was just me and my girlfriend, Julie, that lives there.
Oh, that's it. Oh, that's
yeah. Awesome. Just the two of us.
All right.
I was like gone for not even 48 hours, but it was like nonstop. You know, it was awesome.
I can only imagine the gossiping.
Yes. We had a lot of catching up to do. The last time that we were actually together, you know, I hadn't been to Chicago since 2007, but the last time we were together was in Mexico 3 years ago. At an all-inclusive resort.
That'll be a different show.
Yeah.
All right. So a quick update on your house.
Okay. Well, I'm throwing money like you are, obviously.
Yeah. You heard that, right?
Yeah. So, like, you know, we asked for some stuff and then they came back and said, okay, to some stuff and whatever. And then we said, okay, that's fine. So we signed a bunch of paper and now it's in the appraisal process. So now it's out of really both of our hands at this point.
Well, I look forward to it. The pictures are amazing. So I hope you get it.
Thank you. I hope so too. I mean, obviously now it's in God's hands. If it was meant to be, it'll be, right? Like, I keep telling myself that because we can't control what the house appraises for. So
that's true. In today's market, Serena, it's going to appraise for a lot because the two before is like, you know, $100 or something.
I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm praying for because, you know, I don't know. We've never bought a home before. So, and we just happened to find this one 5 days ago. Or whatever it was. And yeah. I didn't expect to spend the amount of money we have spent this weekend.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, buying a home is stressful on a marriage. I bought my first one when I was 21 years old and I was almost divorced by 22. So, you know.
So Brandon asked our realtor if there was a Bridezilla version of home buying. Like,
oh, Lord.
I know. I was like, back up. Like, back up. I'm being fine. Yeah, I'm being fine. I'm just, you know, it's a lot of money.
It is a lot. And, you know, the appraisers, I understand. I've been through this, Serena. So all I can say is just grin, smile. And if it doesn't work out, go to the next house, but it sounds like it may. So good luck. And I look forward to hearing if you get it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll let you go. Hopefully the next couple of episodes we'll have better answers. So what's new with you? Anything?
You know, I had a really slow week and I really needed it. And next week I go on vacation a little bit. My oldest daughter told me to, Serena, she, you know, well, she just graduated from college and I did tell her to take a month off and relax because life starts and all that.
Sure.
And then she looked at me the other day and she said, Dad, quit helping. So even though and she told her mom, she goes, well, he told me to take a month off and all he's been doing is talking about me finding a job since I came home. So I guess I've been a little overbearing maybe.
I mean, that will never stop because it's happening right now, especially with the home buying process with my own parents.
Yeah. Well, I don't want her to make the wrong decision. I want her to make her own decision, but I don't want her to sell herself short. Right. And
yeah,
we do live in a tourist area and the money is really good in the summertime. She could go down to any restaurant, you know, especially a White Table restaurant and make a ton of money in the summer, which is great. A lot of people do that. Mm-hmm. But I just want her to understand that, you know, she has her degree, like she's got her whole life ahead of her, you know, work this summer, make your money. She's got her own business. Like she's really got it all going on. So I don't want to hound her, but I also want her to, you know, look in the right places because I know where to look for jobs. It's not like, you know, we have a hiring business. Like I know what to tell her, but guess what? Since I'm her dad, my opinion doesn't matter as much, I suppose.
In one ear and out the other, because that's what's happening right now. I will tell you, my dad listens to these podcasts. So I'm sorry, Dad. But her dad was like, run away from this house. What? And I was like, no, I'm running towards it. And he was like, run away. And now here we are.
Well, hey, listen, Dad, if you're listening, Serena may need a loan here shortly.
No. No.
Today we have on Joe Sharp. He's actually the director of the National Veteran Employment and Education Division for the American Legion. And no, he doesn't sit around a bar and drink beer all day. I know that's what you guys are thinking, right? So, Joe, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
It's funny because people listen to last week's show and think, well, they planned this, but it's actually not true. Last week we talked about the American Legion kind of needed a rebranding. Because when you think of the American Legion, you do think about the places you see beside the road and people are sitting there drinking beer and talking story. And that is true, right? It's a great place to go and talk story and, you know, reconnect with old veteran friends. It's awesome for that. But they do a lot more than that. And out of the blue, I got a phone call from the American Legion and said that the director wants to talk to you guys about what the American Legion is doing. And the podcast hadn't even aired yet. So the timing, my friend, is perfect. I want you to talk about what the American Legion's doing for our veterans.
Well, I can definitely talk about the employment piece because that's dear to my heart. And our division, our primary focus is to help veterans as they transition off of active duty or after the Reserve and National Guard. And that's to ensure that they're gainfully employed, that they're financially stable, that they're able to take care of themselves financially and their families, and also to contribute to their communities. And the American Legion has been instrumental in that particular area since the 1940s when we wrote, lobbied for the original GI Bill. And then recently, we were actively involved in the post-9/11 GI Bill. And the purpose of that was to make sure that veterans, when they leave the military, have the same level playing field as their civilian counterparts. Because as you know, when you're on active duty, the rest of the civilian sector has kind of moved along without you. And in order to be competitive with your civilian counterparts, that's why we have certain programs to assist those veterans to be competitive and be able to be gainfully employed and take care of themselves. It's not about being dependent on the federal government. It's to be independent and being able to take care of yourselves and your family.
So I love that statement. It's not about being dependent. I mean, the GI Bill, it's amazing, right? I love it. But I think it's kind of turned into, I want to go to college. College is fine, right? But really, it was designed to help veterans to gain the skills necessary to get out of the military and continue to be a part of society and contribute and support their families, not necessarily college. A lot of people don't understand that the GI Bill, you can be a Harley Davidson mechanic. You can, you know, fly a plane. You know, it's not just about college. right?
It's about gainful employment.
Yeah.
If you need to go to college to be competitive in a certain field, that's fine. But if you want to go into the trades, that's definitely gainful employment. And that's something that's critically needed nowadays.
Wow.
It was also for those that want to start a business, because small business is the backbone of this country. It's what brought our economy to what it is now. And those that wanted to go back to their rural roots and start their own farm. So it was definitely about gainful employment in any industry that you may be interested in to obtain those credentials to be competitive.
Well, I didn't know that that was a thing. I thought the GI Bill was specifically for college credits. My husband gave his to our kids. He split it.
Oh, no, Serena, you can say we. You earned that too.
Yes,
while exactly. He was gone. You were doing everything, young lady.
So he split it, you know, to our children. He just split it in half to both of them. So does that also pertain to them? Can they use that for a trade, or do they have to actually use it for college credits?
It's for the trades. It's for college credits.
That's cool.
We're actually pushing federal agencies and Congress to be able to use that GI Bill to start your own business as well.
You know what? I've heard about that program, and I know it's not off the ground yet, but I researched that a little, you know, because I started a business, but that would be amazing. Helping vets, you know, use their GI Bill to start a business if they're not planning on going back to school or, you know, going into a trade. That would be amazing.
Well, that's extremely important, because you may not be aware of this, but proportionally, veterans start on their own business more than the private sector.
You know, I've went to the Vet to CEO class, and every class I went to start a business that talks about veterans, not only do they start more, but they're actually more successful. And
yes.
I think it's because, you know, when you're in the military, you have a program, you can follow a program, like you're trained to follow a program. And franchising, veterans are very successful at franchising, because
yes.
They basically hand them a playbook and they're like, yes. I'll execute this like a mission, right? They go in and
yes.
Veterans are very successful at franchising.
Yes, yes. So, you know, the American Legion has a very close working relationship with SBA. You know, we help them create a veterans office within SBA to assist veterans who want to do federal contracting, who want to grow, who want to even strengthen their businesses. We're also working with the Department of Treasury, USDA. Those two agencies actually have grant programs to help veterans who want to start a business, along with the VA. VA also has a business grant program as well. And we definitely want to help those veterans that live in our rural areas. We don't want them to be left behind. Many of them don't have access to capital or training. So we're definitely pushed to expand the type of services that our 2 million veterans that live in rural areas can also access as well. Because when you leave the military, you may not always want to move to an urban area. So we just want to make sure that those veterans that choose to go back to their place of birth are also taken care of as well. Because now you can start your own home businesses.
So you talked about free money, man. You got my interest. I mean, I didn't get any grants to start my business. I'm going to have to do some research. Serena, what do you think?
I think so. I mean, I didn't realize how many grants were available for people. I mean, exactly. I heard about them in high school, and you know, there was grants for kids to go to college, but then you kind of don't hear about it anymore. It's like, you really got to dig to find them, which is sad, because yes. They're there for a reason.
Exactly. Exactly. Because USDA, Department of Agriculture, they have a whole program for rebuilding our rural areas. And it's not just for farms. You know, you can start a restaurant, you can start a gym, any type of industry you'd like living in a rural area. Same thing with Department of Treasury. Department of Treasury has offices all over the country where you can obtain a loan. And with VA, you have the Veterans Rehabilitation and Employment Program, which also has a business piece to that. It's not just to go to school or to a trade school, but it's also to start a business, and they can help you with it.
Well,
but what we're trying to do is take all these resources, get these agencies to work together so everybody's aware of those programs. Just like you said, you weren't aware of them. A lot of our veterans aren't aware of them either.
You know, I think that's another thing we've talked about on the show before. It's almost overload, but the American Legion, they have a resource page. I mean, SkillMill is part of the resource page for the American Legion, and we're helping veterans get jobs through the American Legion. We partnered, I guess, 2 months ago now. It's kind
yes.
of a new, it's kind of a new partnership, but the American Legion, I just wish people realized what you did for our service men and women. And I think this show will help get the word out that it's not just a place to go hang out. But in saying that, I wish more younger people would go to the American Legion to hang out and talk to some of our older veterans and realize, you know, that that camaraderie that you feel when you are at American Legion, it's not only great for you, but the money they raise and everything they do for our servicemen and women, it actually is amazing. And I got to tell you, Serena feels the same way, because we talked about it last show. Me and Serena have had a few drinks at the American Legion, haven't we, Serena?
We have, and in Honolulu, under the bridge.
Oh, yes.
I'm guilty. I just thought it was where the old vets go and hang out. And, you know, that's like their little hangout spot. I don't know, because it always seemed a fun place to be. I mean, we always had a good time when we went.
No, we have all types of programs. You know, a lot of people aren't aware of our children and youth programs like American Legion Baseball. Did you know at one time 70% of all your professional players started off at American Legion Baseball?
No way. You're telling me 70%? Like, are you talking Major League Baseball players?
I'm talking about at one point in time, 70% of your professional baseball players all started off in American Legion Baseball. We even have our own World Series once a year.
That's awesome. I love baseball. Go Royals. You know,
and we have Boys State, Girls State. A movie was just done about Boys State in Texas. It was supposedly up for a number of major awards this past year. And that program teaches young men and women about a civil society and how to run a state government. We also have Boys Nation, Girls Nations, where we bring individuals to Washington, D.C., and they learn about how to run, you know, our government on the national level. And at the very last day, they usually go to the White House and meet the president.
Oh, that's awesome.
We also have an auditory contest, a shooting contest for our students, and a young cadet program that most individuals aren't aware of. Also, we have a program to help families that may have mortgage difficulties or some other catastrophic problem. We also help veterans with their health care needs. We visit practically every VA medical center in the country and look at the quality of care. And right now, we've had, for the last 10 years, a push to make sure that women veterans are well taken care of. And when you talk about spouses, that was another push, you know, to have the GI Bill also given to where a veteran can turn that over to their spouse as well. Because what we'd like to see is before a veteran leaves the military, that there's some sort of revenue stream coming into that family, either the spouse or that veteran. And with that, they don't have to go on unemployment. They won't need to use their GI Bill to relearn what they've already learned. And that family is financially set up prior to them leaving. We also assist homeless veterans. When I started, we had close to 250,000 homeless veterans on any given night. Now we have about 35 to 40,000, and we're still working to reduce that as well. So a lot of the programs that VA and the federal agencies have is a direct result of the lobbying that we've done on Capitol Hill. Plus our departments and our posts, we have about 18,000 posts worldwide that assist veterans. And so the Legion has actually been very active, and we have the American Legion Women's Auxiliary, which is the largest patriotic women's group in the world. And we have the Sons of the American Legion. So all three entities within the Legion are out to strengthen America. Actually, when you talk about branding, that's a new model of ours, is that veterans strengthen America.
You know, you say veterans strengthen America, and I believe that to be true, and Serena does too. And all the employers that SkillMill, that they use us, they all say the same thing. We hire veterans for character. We can train skills.
Exactly.
And that takes me to the job fair. And so I conducted a job fair with the American Legion, and there are so many job fairs out there. And honestly, the only word I can use is bullshit, and I hate to use it, but it's true. They charge people an arm and a leg to come to these job fairs, and they have a few veterans come in, and the companies make money, but the veterans don't get jobs. But we did an American Legion job fair. It cost us zero money. We had a ton of veterans come through our system. We helped them get jobs. Your job fairs are the best job fairs that I have ever attended, my friend.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, we've been doing job fairs for the last 75 years.
Well, it's nice that you guys, and you guys are not charging people, you know, to come to these job fairs. I just think it's for the right reason. We had a ton of quality candidates too. I mean, that's the other thing. And we're doing another one with you guys, I think June 10th in Texas, right? A virtual job fair.
Exactly. And the first hour, we're honoring our women in the military. So they will have exclusive rights to be able to talk with employers first for the first hour. And then we're opening up to veterans, spouses, active duty folks. And again, this is a global event because we're also trying to reach veterans, those that are stationed in the Pacific and the Atlantic. When we did our last job fair, we had veterans from six different countries that participated. We also had veterans from some of our allies that participated as well, like Australia. We have Legion posts in Australia, but we also had Australian veterans that also participate, because since we've become global, we had a lot of international companies that participated. And a lot of our veterans either want to stay overseas or go overseas. So it's really becoming a global event to help all veterans and spouses.
I think that is so cool that you guys are doing that for the women veterans for the first hour. That's so awesome. I mean, I know women veterans and some that are single moms, and you know, they're single moms in active duty and also taking care of their children. So finding the time to get educated with a GI Bill, or not the GI Bill, but get educated with, you know, college courses or whatever, it doesn't exist. And then the stress that they're under to say, do I get out of the military? Do I retire? Do I reenlist? Because they don't know if they can find work on the outside. So that is so awesome to hear, because I mean, that's terrifying for women, especially if they're the breadwinner. And, you know, that's awful. And especially if you're taking care of little people.
Exactly. Yes.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
I want to say something about the job fair too. I mean, it's in Texas, right? But it doesn't matter. It's virtual. And
it's virtual.
Yeah. And people in Texas aren't necessarily hunting for employment in Texas. There's veterans that come to these job fairs from all over that maybe want to come to Texas. There's companies that come in like us. We hire globally, right? But we're in the Texas job fair. So these virtual job fairs that the American Legion holds, you know, don't think that just because you're not from Texas, you can't come in as, you know, someone seeking a job and see what they have to offer. It really is global reach for the American Legion.
Exactly. When we did our last job fair, 50% of those that registered were from all over the world.
Well, I told Serena we're international now because we have listeners. And the last I checked, it was 10 countries, but I'm sure it's grown since then. And I was like, Ireland. I'm like, I don't remember us having a base in Ireland, Serena. So I'm not someone's over there drinking scotch and listening to Diapers and Deployments.
Well, actually, we have Legion posts in Ireland.
That's who's listening right there.
That's it right there.
Yes. Well, yes. I don't want to get off of here without saying, you know, go Navy to you Army guy out there. So, we didn't tell you that he also served for 30 years in the Army. And I didn't want to bring that up because, you know, the Navy's far exceeds the Army, but I didn't want to bring that up, but you know, I'm just going to bring it up at the end there, but I'm just messing with you. You have two children who are at West Point. One graduated West Point. Another one's at West Point. So not only do you talk about patriotism, but you live it and your kids live it. And I personally want to thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for your service as well, both of you.
Well, you know, it's funny, as I always tell people, I may have served, but my wife did all the work.
Well, of course.
I feel like you only say that because you got me on the show.
Well, Serena, you'll never know why I say it. All right. So going back to the job fair, you know, give me an idea. June 10th is right around the corner. How many companies are signed up for this job fair? You know, if someone's out there listening and they're looking.
Right now we have 197 and still counting.
So that's 197 opportunities to get a job.
Exactly. And it's a wide variety of companies. Some are located in Texas. Some companies are nationwide, and there are other companies that are international.
So Serena, maybe me and you could find us a job in Italy or something.
Oh, that would be awesome. But then I would not be able to fly home because I would eat too much food and not fit on the airplane.
plus you have that, you have that house you're trying to buy. So there's that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, don't remind me. Bubble guts.
and we definitely encourage our veterans and their families that are located in our bases overseas and in Europe and Africa, the Middle East and the Pacific to participate.
Okay. Well, Joe, I really appreciate you coming on the show. I hope our listeners, you know, if they're not looking for a job, I am positive they know someone who is, or maybe they have a job and they're looking to move on up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the other thing is they should join the American Legion, and their spouses need to join the Women's Auxiliary, because we have a slew of services for our, you know, for the children and youth programs and all type of other programs to assist the family to make sure that they're comfortable, that they're stable, you know, resources, you know, wherever community they plan to settle in. They should also really know all their federal benefits plus their state benefits, you know, because some states have excellent state benefits, and you combine that with your federal benefits, you're way ahead of the game as far as being financially secure.
Yeah, I for one, I'll tell you that Alabama has amazing benefits, and Florida, yes, right next door, they have amazing benefits. And
yes,
West Virginia, you know, since I'm from there, I know they do too. So if you're listening, just go to your state site and see what kind of benefits that you may be missing out on, because I found a few that I was missing out on, and don't feel bad about getting the benefits, because you earned them. You know, it's not the, yes, government's not giving them to you for free.
Right.
Those long nights and that time away from your family. That's why they're
getting them. And those are to help you be able to secure your futures. It's not about making you dependent on the federal government. It's to give you that equal footing with your civilian counterparts. And we want you to continue contributing to your country. So, yes, we want you to be financially set. You can pay those taxes.
So, Joe, hey, thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it. And, you know, we may have you back on one of these days. We're definitely going to have more American Legion people come on the show. I know I'm coming on the American Legion podcast here, me and Serena, in probably 3 to 4 weeks, I guess. I'd have to look at my calendar. So it's going to be a great partnership. I know that we're going to help a lot of veterans. And really, that's what it's all about.
Yes, it is. That's what it's all about, in strengthening our country.
All right, Serena, so what do you think about the interview?
You know, I will probably say this every single episode, but every time we have somebody on to talk about what their company or whatever offers military veterans, I am floored, because nothing is talked about to actual service members when they're trying to transition out. None of this stuff is ever mentioned.
I think it's because, you know, when you're in the military, it's all about the mission and you get it done, get it done. You don't really think about your benefits, I'll call them, on the way out. But then you go to this 1 week transition class and think that you're going to just know all this stuff. And it's just not true. And the people that you'd look toward for information, like your chiefs, you look at them and like, hey, give me some advice and everything. Well, they haven't transitioned out either.
Correct. So
they're not really the resource. You know, I was a command mess chief and I didn't know about all these programs. Mm-hmm. And how would I? I had not went through the process, right?
Correct.
So,
I mean, I get it. I just feel like maybe the military should have all of these people available to talk. I mean, I know they want to, I know retention is ideal, but I mean, come on, you know, like, I don't know. I wish this Serena could have had, or I wish last 6 months ago, this Serena could, or that Serena could have listened to all these podcasts. Do you know what I'm saying?
Does
that make sense?
I do. And I think that there's a lot of people out there like us who would love to go back in time and help that ombudsman that you were, or help that, you know, Cobb that I was, like, and tell us about all these programs, because, you know, I had plenty of people that were getting out and I wished I would have been able to help them more.
Yeah. Right?
And give them, you know, because no matter what they were going to do in life after the military, there's a program out there. But I do want to talk about the American Legion, because, you know, if you're not a member, I say you go join. I joined, and really, I didn't join right away. I was one of those people who are like, it's American Legion. It's $35, about $35, you know, depending on where you live, but maybe it's $35 everywhere. So it's not expensive, but all that money goes to help with all those programs. So if you never step foot in American Legion and you pay your dues, that's okay. I mean, you should, because you should go in there and talk to people, because those people in there, you know, love to have fellow veterans to talk to. But, you know, join, pay your dues, and help the American Legion with their cause.
Sure. I mean, and I, until SkillMill started, you know, with the job fairs, I didn't realize how many job fairs the American Legion hosted.
I know. And they're really good job fairs. The ones that they put on, and the people that come in are really looking for a job. I mean, it's the best job fair, you know, we've done at, as SkillMill. And we do our own job fairs, of course, but we just started that. And I hope we're as good as the American Legion one day, because they really do a good job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, job fairs are great. SkillMill's got one coming up, and you know, they're a great resource for people to, especially to talk to people if you're a little bit more quiet, reserved. I know it's one thing to talk to your superiors in the military, but when you go to a job fair like that, I mean, I've been to a few for SkillMill back in the day, and it helps you get your feet wet, because you're around a bunch of people, but then you can start talking to professionals that aren't your superiors and someone that's not going to bark orders at you. So I really encourage people to attend. And I know virtual is kind of weird right now, but that'll change. I have faith.
Well, I like virtual better. And I should say that we...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do. But I think I should also say that we don't even call a job... I say job fairs because that's what people are used to. But really, ours are skills fairs, because you know as well as I do, resumes and, you know, that stuff is in the past. Like,
yeah,
it's all about skill sets and what skills you have,
sure,
and what you've done in and out of the military, right, and what you have the potential to do. So, you know, ours are skills fairs, because you don't know what job you're looking for. Like, the average veteran, honestly, Serena, they come out and they're like, I kind of know what I'm good at, but I don't know what I can do. So they're not looking for a specific job. They're trying to see what's the skills that they have. They're trying to figure out what those skills match to in the civilian world. So that's why we've kind of shifted, you know, the playing field to the skills fairs, because a lot of companies, they'll look at a veteran's resume or their profile and hire them for a job that the veteran had no idea they were qualified for.
Right. Sure. I mean, that's my husband right now. I mean, that's,
yeah,
exactly. He's doing a job right now that his job in the Navy translated to his exact job that he's doing right now for his company. And that would have happened on a regular resume. You know what I mean?
Or like, and would he have thought of that job in the military? Like, oh, I know exactly what I want to be. I want to be X.
Never. So when he did find it and they were like, can you do this? Can you do that? And he was like, that is literally my job. That is literally what I did. Yeah. So, but if he couldn't translate that himself,
right,
then you don't know. That's why you need to log on to skillmill.com, create yourself a profile, and look and see what your skills are, because you know in your head, but you don't know how to get it down.
You know, and don't undersell yourself.
Right.
And if my daughter's listening, that's not pointed toward you. So stop helping.
Go make some money, Michaela. You need to make some tips.
All right, Serena. So I say it's my favorite part of the show, but I'm pretty sure it may be your favorite part of the show too.
Yeah, I can't help it. My poor liver.
I know. Well, you know, I give out an award every month, and Employee of the Month goes to the liver again.
Well, I do want to say, I hope you're not drinking $2,700 whiskey again.
No. This week I have a Kentucky bourbon barrel ale. And let me tell you, it's not great.
Oh, okay.
It's not delicious. But now, in all fairness to the people that make this, I love bourbon. I love beer. But when you put them together and make an ale, not my thing.
Yeah, we do have a bourbon ale from Boulevard Brewery in our refrigerator that's been sitting there forever, because it's just not great.
It's company beer now, I call it.
Yeah.
Company beer. Yeah.
It's not, I mean, you either have some whiskey or you have a beer.
Right. And I see people sit at the bar with a shot of whiskey and a beer.
Yeah.
I'm just like, come on, man, pick one.
You know what? My grandpa did that. He still does it today. He's 85, and he would pour himself a beer and then get himself a shot of Crown Royal. And he takes a drink of his beer and then a sip of the whiskey at the same time.
Oh God. Ooh.
Yeah. Right. I know. Of course I had to try it eventually, because I was like, what is Pawpaw doing? I want to know what he's doing. And I was like, oh, that is terrible. Yeah. And it was like Coors Light, you know, I mean, I love Coors Light, but when you take a drink of Coors Light and then a sip of Crown Royal at the same time,
right?
No, you know, that is like college disaster.
You know what Papa was doing? He was trying to forget about Mama. That's
yeah, I know. He was trying to forget that all of his hundreds of grandkids came over for dinner on a Thursday night after he just got off of work.
Oh, God. How about God you? Love him. What are you having?
I came downstairs to my other studio, and this is where my DrinksWorks machine is. So I made it's called a berry mint fizz, but basically all it is vodka and sparkling water and lime. And it's got like a sweet berry syrup in it. So it's delicious, but I'm like chugging it like it's jungle juice. Kool-Aid. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, me and you have such, different taste than alcohol. None of that sounds good to me, Serena. I got to tell you.
Oh, it's good. It would be delicious by your pool.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll try it. But here's what I'm going to challenge you this week, because we're supposed to try something called Red Eyed Louie's Vodkila, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And look what I have right here. Like, I have it. I not only bought the Vodkila, I bought the Rumkila and the Whiskila. So I have all three bottles of this stuff, but I'm waiting on you to get your bottle before I try.
All right. Okay. So since we're going to the Ozarks this weekend for Memorial Day, and there is a massive liquor superstore on every corner.
Right.
So I will look for the nips of those, because I don't want those big ass bottles. Because what if I don't like them?
That's true.
I mean, they're a cool conversation piece, but if I hate them, I'm SOL. So I'm going to look for the nips.
Right.
And then we'll touch base next weekend.
Well, if they don't have the nips, I'll just try it myself and tell you how it tastes.
Okay. Thanks for listening to this episode of Diapers and Deployments, brought to you by SkillMill.
Go to skillmill.com to check out our blog and create an account. You can also find us on social media. Let us help you find your next career.
Don't forget, that's skill with two L's and mill with one.
Until next time.